I got into this business to help small business owners get further ahead. I would rather charge less, help more people, and then as I get more clients, I'll just bring in more staff on my side so that way we can help more and more business owners. You want to get the setup right in the beginning without spending a ton of money. Like, you don't want to open up a business and hire 18 people unless you're running a restaurant or something, right? But if you're running a regular business that's you, don't go hire a bunch of people until you start getting in the revenue. For every new business owner, I tell them, like, why would you not get one? Because if you come to my house and you want to build me a deck, right? If you send me an invoice that has no HST on it, immediately I'm going to think one of two things. Either you do this as a side hobby and you've never made $30,000 at it, in which case, do I want to hire you? But if you've just started out and you've got an HST number, I can't tell if you've been in the business for 30 years or if it was your first day yesterday.
Hello, it's Will Ellis, and I'm with Riyadh.
Thank you for remembering my name today.
Of course. And this is If You Build It, the podcast, a podcast that celebrates entrepreneurship. We have our first repeat guest.
Yep, that's true.
And I'm very excited because Dan Baker, owner of Profit by Intention, his website is profitbyintention.com. We are going to talk today primarily about business, owning a business, what it takes to start a business. And this guy, who's my accountant and Riyadh's, maybe Joseph's eventually, accountant. And I think you're very good at what you do. You've saved me and many others from disaster when it comes to running a business. Because we get in our own way sometimes. But Riyadh has question number one. I'd be told to give Riyadh question number one.
First, I have to jump in, though. Like, I didn't know I was the first repeat guest.
You are?
Yeah. I feel incredibly honored. Like, there you go. I'm actually glad you made fun of my clothes last time, so I dressed up for the occasion.
I did not make
He did. He set the stage of a guy who's well dressed, and I see this guy coming with a hat on. I'm like,
okay, that is true.
Yeah. I was like, why is he wearing a hat?
You know what I mean? Every time I've seen this guy, he's fancy belt, shoes, nails lacquered in like a clear coat, beautiful scars. You do like dressing well, right? And so when I said, oh, Riyadh, you're going to love, Dad's my accountant. He's been accountant for like 10 years. We've known each other since we were in our 20s. Dad always dresses well. And you came looking homeless. I was like, well, I'm like, I was wrong about that.
You know what?
He's going through something.
In all honesty, I underestimated how good the podcast was going to be. I thought it was going to be like me, you, and a cell phone sitting down and doing something.
Yeah. We have the best podcast producer. Well, remember,
it's not Will by himself anymore.
That's true. You've definitely upped the class level.
That's right. I am trying here. But Riyadh has question number one. I'm going to put my questions away because I think we're going to have a good conversation here.
So if I'm starting a business 2025 and it's now November, give me some tips tips for a new entrepreneur that you recommend them doing to start their business off on a right start. Because, you know, a lot of us, we adjust as we go, right? Or haven't adjusted.
The first thing that you need to do is to make sure you have a viable business.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people jump into something and they haven't even tested whether they have a proof of concept. Right. So they sink all this money into setting up websites or courses or whatever it is that they're trying to sell without knowing if anybody actually wants to buy it.
Okay.
Right. For other people, like if you're a trade or you have a skill and a marketable skill, the first thing that we see a lot of people do that's I wouldn't recommend is they incorporate right out of the bat, which just adds an entire level of complexity and cost, especially if your business doesn't go well.
Right.
Right. Because it's not as easy as just saying, you know what, this didn't work out. I'm just going to shut it down. You have to file documents with Canada Revenue. You've already put $1,000, $1,500 into the incorporation process. You're paying an awful lot more for the accounting work. Whereas we tell people, you know what, if you're starting a business, just pay the $60 on the Ontario registry, get the business number set up. A very important thing is go and get a business bank account set up so it's not commingled with your personal funds, right? That's very important. So that way, if you were ever to be audited, you've got your business account set up, you've got your personal account, and things are kept completely separate. And then just let the business go through its lifestyle. There will come a time where your business will basically tell you it's time to incorporate.
Mm. I wish I knew that when I first started real estate, because I had one account for everything.
Same.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Well, I've expanded to three.
See, and the problem comes is if you buy something from Walmart, and it's on a personal credit card, and you're great at this, Will, you tell me, oh, this is for business. I'm like, where's the receipt? Well, I don't have a receipt.
I keep all receipts.
If you have a separate credit card that's only for business, then the likelihood is that you're buying your business items on that card, and you're going to buy your personal items on a personal credit card.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, everybody commingles a few things here and there and pushes stuff through. But for tracking purposes, it's much easier when you have one that's dedicated for business.
Interesting. When people incorporate too soon, why do you think they do that?
Because they get told to.
By who?
Their accountants or their lawyers, because they all make money on it.
Right. Right? When should someone?
Yeah. Is there an income level or is there?
Nope. To me, it's when you don't need all the money that you're making.
Okay.
Right. I like to keep things simple. Same with investing. When we do investing advice, it's all simple. People are trying to reinvent the wheel because they're trying to sell something. So they try to come up with something that's fancy and all of this other stuff. To me, the main benefit you get when you incorporate is that you pay a lower corporate tax rate. But if you're not making enough money and you're pulling all the money out of the corporation, then nothing's being taxed at the lower rate. You're not paying any tax, yeah. Right? You're just paying the same on your T4 that you're taking from your own company as you would pay in tax at a regular job, right? So the time to incorporate is when you're making, and it doesn't matter the income level, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're making $100,000 in your corporation, but let's say your spouse makes $500,000, well, then you don't need to take any money out. Yeah. So you're better off being incorporated, paying 15% on that 100 than if you're a sole proprietor and you have to put the $100,000 on your tax return and you're paying $30,000 in tax.
Right, 30%.
Right?
What are the biggest red flags when someone is thinking about starting a business? When I say red flags, like when someone, like you say people start, you know, they would incorporate, they do this, they do that. What's the first thing someone should do when they are about to start a business? Like what's the first thing they should do?
Get a business number.
Okay. Outside, but should they hire someone? Should they hire an accountant? Should
they hire it depends. A marketer? It depends on the people. Right. So you get people that are very good at what they do, but they can't run a business.
Yeah. Right.
Right. That's very typical. So you've got somebody who's an electrician, let's say, and they are out there running their business. They're working for somebody and they just want to leave because they're like, why am I working for somebody else when I can do this myself?
Right.
Their buddies have told them, oh, you're a great electrician. You should do this on your own. So they start doing an electrical business. Well, that person is a great electrician.
Right.
They may not be a great business person. Now, I can't tell them that. I can see that when I start to watch how they operate.
Right.
Like somebody at this podcast. right. So that person is not going to track their records. They're not going to keep auto logs. They're not going to do any of the stuff that Canada Revenue needs if they ever audit your items. Right. And it's all fun and games until they get that letter. So somebody like that should be hiring somebody, whether it's an admin person to run a simple spreadsheet or whether they hire a bookkeeper to do the books or they hire a company like ours that does the books, the taxes and everything all intertwined into one. You have other people that are relatively good at running a business. And so when you're starting out, because a lot of people want to keep their costs down.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So but I always tell people it's much more costly if you have to hire me to fix what you've done.
Right.
And if I just did it myself and it's going to take me way less time than trying to dig around and figure out, oh my God, what the heck was Will trying to do here?
Right.
Right. So it really depends on the skill level of the individual business owner.
So someone is a contractor, because I mean, you see a lot of contractors like, you know, they work for a company for years. I want to now run my own business. You know, they hire some people. They may, you know, are you saying it makes sense for them to then come to you to help guide them when it comes to managing the financial part, or should they hire an admin that would probably work with you during tax time? Like, what is the whole process?
No, you want to keep your costs down. You don't need to hire so many people. Like, we're a one-stop shop. So we do everything from, we have the advisory piece for business owners. We put everything together that they could ever need.
Yeah.
So you don't need to have us plus an admin, plus this person, plus that person.
Right.
You can have an admin, right? Because when you're first starting out as a sole proprietor, it's not hard to track. Because all the excess money is yours.
Right.
Right. So there's very little trouble that you can get yourself into. It's just a matter of taking your receipts, keeping track of them, making sure your HST is monitored. And then at tax time, then whoever's doing that for you sends us the file and we can process everything.
What's the biggest mistake you see in the first year?
Debt. people take on way too much debt. That's a killer, right? You get, because in many cases, you get the business owner who comes out booming, right? They've got their concept, they come out, they make all this money, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I've got all this money coming in. So then they go to expand. You know, they're hiring people, they're investing in this, that, and the other thing. And then through just regular ebbs and flows of the business, sales go down. But now you've got all this extra cost, right? Like there's three things that kill any company. It's going to be your payroll. It's going to be your education and training, because people love that stuff. And I have my own opinions on it, but it's, and then software costs. People love softwares. They think it's $9.99. So they buy every app known to man that they don't need in their business, right? So one of the first things we do with most corporations is we'll do like an audit on all their expense structure and see what they've taken on. But payroll is a big one. General rule of thumb, I say if you, for every 150,000, you should have one full-time employee.
Interesting, actually. What?
I never thought of it that way.
Payroll kills. Like every struggling business. So we deal with probably close to 80, 85 monthly corporate clients. The ones that really struggle, it's a payroll issue, right? Because we do a lot of reports that will show your expenses as a percentage of revenue.
Yeah.
Right. And I was looking at one the other day and it's like 60, 70% of revenue is payroll costs. You can't operate a successful business that way.
What percentage should you be at?
It depends. It depends on the company. Depends on the industry. I like it 40% and under. It also depends. Like we try to back out owner payroll because I mean you can really fatten up your bottom line, but if you're paying yourself, it's a different story.
Yeah. Right. Interesting. Because if someone is running a business, mm-hmm. they started a business in January of this year. They look at all the people that are online and marketing. Hey, you should do this as a so-and-so business person. You know, what's one thing that tends to trip up outside of debts? What's one thing that trips up people? What thing that people can't wrap their heads around as a business owner that maybe is just about to start?
For a corporate business owner, it's their payroll.
Right. But then for, let's say, a regular everyday person might be thinking about getting into it. And is years away from incorporating.
So a lot of people mess up by not getting an HST number right off the bat.
Yeah, I've heard that. And like, how hard? And that's not okay. Dad advised me what to do at the beginning of my real estate career. I was going through hell. I was going through audits with the government. It was terrible. And Dan, after I was fired by a couple of accountants, Dan came in because I had an account that was really bad, and Dan saved my life. True story. The guy owed the government like $50,000, and Dan went in and I don't know what he did, and then the government owed me money.
Yeah, because we filed your taxes.
Yeah, like the guy didn't file my tax. And again, you hire someone.
You see, because when you don't file, they will arbitrarily assess you.
Yeah, weird.
And send you a bill.
5 years straight. And I've been audited now in 8 years, so it's been wonderful. But yeah, you need to have the right accountant. I think the first thing you should do is hire a good accountant.
I agree. I went through, you're my third.
Yeah, but you know what helps me is that I'm not a designated accountant, right? I have one on my team, but I am not. So when I started the business, I just went and did this stuff because it's not all that complicated. For the average Joe, it's not very difficult. So now we're getting involved with holding companies and we've got all this other stuff going on. So I have a CPA that does all the corporate tax returns and signs off on the financial statements. But it's just having those conversations with people. And I have my own opinions on a lot of things. So I do it differently than maybe other people do. And we're not the right fit for everybody.
Should people interview accountants?
No, well, they could.
Should they?
I would.
Right.
Okay. I would. Like, so we're virtual. We do a lot of virtual stuff. So a lot of my clients are in different provinces. So they have met with people in their province. And then they end up using us virtually.
Right.
Right. But the HST is a good one because that's just my opinion.
Right.
Right. Because you don't need an HST number until you hit the 30,000 mark. But for every new business owner, I tell them, like, why would you not get one? Because if you come to my house and you want to build me a deck, right? If you send me an invoice that has no HST on it, immediately I'm going to think one of two things. Either you do this as a side hobby and you've never made $30,000 at it, in which case do I want to hire you? Yeah. Or you're brand new and you've never made $30,000. Again, do I want to hire you? But if you've just started out and you've got an HST number, I can't tell if you've been in the business for 30 years or if it was your first day yesterday. Right.
So perception.
Just from optics, it makes you more professional. But this is another big thing that bugs me with business owners. You get people that come in and
here we go.
They're not really a business owner, right? They're just dabbling. It's just a hobby.
Yeah.
Right. Because when you talk to them and they're like, oh man, I just do this. I didn't track this. You're not a business owner. Don't come complain to me when you owe the government $50,000, right? Like if you're going to start a business, be a business owner. Put the proper things in place. Do what you're good at and hire out the rest.
Yeah.
Right? That was the biggest thing that I learned. I am an administrative disaster, right? But my team is great. So I do all of this kind of stuff and they make sure that everything's filed away and filed on time and everything else is done. Right. But too many business owners, because they go, I don't want to say cheap, but they want to save as much money as they can, that they're really hurting themselves. Yeah. Right. Like you have to spend money on the things that are going to progress your business forward. We always ask them, is this an expense or an investment? Right. If it's an expense, that's just a nice to have, then you don't need it. Yeah. Right.
On that note, I was at a conference recently and one of the things we were talking about was cars.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take? Is it better to lease, finance, or like as a business owner and you have a corporation?
It's doesn't matter. My opinion. Or it really depends on you, right? Like me, I get bored of cars very fast. So for me, it makes more sense to lease because I can just hand it back.
Yeah.
Right. My wife will drive a car until it doesn't move anymore. So for her, she finances because she likes not having a car payment. Yeah. Right. So for me, it's not about. Yeah. Will it affect your taxes in different ways? Sure, it will. If you finance it, you're going to get a bigger deduction up front from the depreciation, but that will go down over time. At least you get a set amount every year. Right. But too many people try to base their decisions on things on the tax implications. Unless you're dealing with millions of dollars, it's not going to make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe a couple $1,000, but is that worth you not being able to bring your car back in 3 years when you want a new one and you take a bath on the loan? Right? Like people get so caught up in different things that have to do with tax when really, if we put it on a tax return for most people, it's going to make a few hundred dollars difference.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He was surprised by your answer because he went to his real estate conference and the people, you know.
They're saying don't go crazy on an expensive car.
Never go crazy on an expensive car. First of all, CRA has limits.
Yeah.
Don't ask me what they are. I don't know them off the top of my head. But there's a limit. So you can't go buy a Porsche and write off the whole thing.
Right.
It doesn't work. And the other thing is like a car is a depreciating asset. So all you're driving an expensive car for is ego. For the most part. I know. I had a BMW 5 Series. Now I got a Hyundai Elantra. Right? But it was really hard. It was really hard to give that back. But it was the smartest decision I ever made. I had a car sitting in the driveway going nowhere. Right?
But it looked nice in your driveway.
Looked nice. But again, that's all ego though. Yeah. It has nothing to do. Like that car got me to Barry and back for the hockey tournament last weekend. Totally fine.
Right.
Now, was I trying to hit buttons that weren't there? I did. I might've looked funny in the dealership.
Like your big body is fitting into a Hyundai Elantra.
It's kind of hard to get out of.
Yeah. Like with your bad hip. Not
going to lie. Yeah. It's a little hard, but it's more for my wife. I drive the van.
Okay.
For the most.
Interesting. Do you see business owners getting into trouble when it comes to that whole idea of ego?
Business owners get into trouble on everything.
But is a car the biggest financial mistake people are making as business owners?
No, the car is not usually too bad. Most business owners are relatively smart that way.
Right.
I mean, you'll see some that'll overexpend on a truck or what have you. But for personal vehicles in our practice, we don't have any that really are bad from a vehicle standpoint. Houses, different story.
Yeah. Now, what about houses? That was my next question.
Yeah, because then what happens is it's a cycle, right? So you overextend on the house. Well, now you got to take more money out of the business, which increases your payroll, which means you don't have enough cash flow in the business now to cover off HST and corporate tax. So now you owe the government more money. And it's just this vicious cycle, right? That's why I don't like debt, because the debt interest rates went up, right? We've only ever had two clients that had to close because of lack of funds. And both times it was due to debt.
Wow.
Right? Because let's say you go do a big renovation, right? Your business is booming. You got money in all your bank accounts. You go do a renovation. Then interest rates go from 1.7% to 7%. Mm. And you've got a $100,000 loan sitting at BDC. Well, now your carrying cost has gone from $700 a month to $3,000 a month. Big problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. We were talking before we started the film here about the government.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see, with the election happening next year, do you see any changes for a business owner with government that could impact them negatively or positively?
I haven't thought much about it. I just pray to God we get rid of the guy we got now.
Who is the guy we have now? I'm not even too sure. Like, what is, I mean, you're pretty well connected in the when it comes to politics.
Not really. I don't pay attention to it.
Not anymore?
No. You know what? Because at the end of the day, whoever gets in there, there's not much they can do. Yeah, you can change certain things, like that whole capital gains thing was a big one.
Yeah.
Right. But it's hard to predict what they're going to do. You just have to roll with the punches and hope that the guy that's in there leaves.
And
I would rather you become the option than what we've got.
I think I'd be a great option. I think I'll be a wonderful option. If I run for government, would you support me?
I would absolutely support you.
What? What's so funny? I might one day choose to run for government. I'm being serious. You know, the election's in what, 2 years? Provincial or not, sorry, municipal. I think it's in 2 years.
Municipal?
I think it's in 2026. I'm thinking about it. Interesting. Okay, so let's talk about 2025 now, as we're now entering 2025. What advice do you have to business owners?
What advice do I have
for business owners? Yeah, just in general.
Man, it depends on the business owner. Some people are great business owners, and they just go with the flow and things just move, right? Other business owners have to try to get out of debt, right? Like, every business owner that has a large amount of debt, get out of it.
How?
By coming up with a strategy to pay it down.
So say you owe back taxes.
Yep.
And you owe credit card debt. Where do you go first? In your opinion?
That's a good question.
Well, for me, I would pay, I would probably try to split it. You give Canada Revenue enough to keep them happy, and then put the rest on your credit card debt. Because at the end of the day, you can put off Canada Revenue, but then you're going to wake up in the morning and your bank account will be garnished. We've seen that happen a few times now.
How long does that usually take?
For what?
For them to go into your account and garnish it.
Well, it takes no time at all. No, like, want to garnish
it. How long do you have to owe money for?
Well, that depends. It depends on a lot. See, too many business owners put their head in the sand. Mm-hmm. So they don't talk to Canada Revenue. That's when they garnish your bank account, because that's when you will phone them. Right now, if you're in debt, like, I have a client who's in debt with them right now, but she's fantastic with keeping in touch. So she calls and says, hey, listen, this is due. I don't have the full amount to be able to pay. We need to increase my payment plan or whatever it is. But when you talk to them, they'll work with you. But for the business owner that just lets all the stuff go into the recycling bin and doesn't say a word, that's when they start getting angry. And then they'll garnish your bank account. Happened a few times. Get the phone call. Dan, my bank account's frozen. You got to call Canada Revenue.
And then that's what you okay, good to know.
Oh, yeah. But they when they freeze it, they take everything that's in it.
Right.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. If you owe them, they take it right out of your account. It freezes. And then you have to pay the rest before they'll unlock it.
Running your own business, what have you learned when it comes to running your own business?
What haven't I learned? See, I think that's one of the things that makes us effective with dealing with people, is because I was a disaster when I first started.
Why?
Why? Because the things that I'm telling you now, I didn't know. I had to learn them all the hard way, right? This is like the fifth iteration of our business. I'm a financial planner. So we do investments and all this other kind of stuff for clients, but then we do the tax part of the business, which is just great. The part of the business that nobody ever teaches you is how to actually run the business. Right. So I got into Canada Revenue debt because I was just spending whatever was coming in. Like, obviously I like to spend money. Mm-hmm. That's just my, it actually wasn't until COVID hit that I had a little bit of a turnaround with what I spend money on, right? Because sitting in your basement, getting shaggy hair and beard and wearing track pants for 3 years, you really learn that nobody really cares.
Right.
Right. So I don't spend money anymore. So things have really turned around that way, because now you can bring people in. Like, one of the biggest problems business owners have is you're a control freak, right? Like, I do things my way. That's why I started a business, right? Like, the reason I got into this business, I used to work at a bank.
Which bank? Wow.
I can't tell you which bank, but I used to work at a bank, and like, my brother and I, we go to the Jays home opener every year, right? This is just a funny aside story. And I went in and I asked for the day off. He was like, well, I can't give you the day off because some more senior staff, there's too many of them that already have this day off. And I was like, no, I'm not asking for the day off. I'm just letting you know that I won't be here on this day. So if you have to go and get somebody to come in and fill, then we can do that. But I'm just letting you know that I won't be here. Like, I cannot work in an actual job environment because I like doing things my way. And which is the most case with entrepreneurs, is you're doing it because you want to do it your way.
100%.
And so when you do that, that's great. But then I'm doing everything, right? Because I wouldn't let, like, I've gone through 16 bookkeepers in 5 years.
You have one now?
I have two awesome ones that do the work of everybody else. So they're really, really good. But I went through them because the one thing that I suck at doing is teaching people how to do what I already know. Because if I have to put it to you in 16 steps that I can do in two, I just go in and do it.
Right.
I don't have the patience to sit there and be like, oh my God, here we go. Will's taking forever to do this again. So I just do it. Right. And that's a problem that a lot of business has, because it hampers your growth opportunity.
Yeah.
You can't grow if you're doing everything. So it wasn't until I brought on a CPA to do a lot of the corporate tax returns. And then I brought on these bookkeepers that can now do a lot of that work. My wife does all of our admin work, which takes a whole bunch of that off. So I still do a whole lot of everything, but it's much more controlled and you're able to grow.
How did you get to that point when you realized you needed help?
I thought I was going to have a heart attack. No, you see it. There was a point in time where, like, one of the things that we try to do, like, all my clients have my cell number. They can text me from anywhere in the country, ask a question.
Do you answer your text though?
I answer them all the time, except for yours. I just wanted to surprise you today by showing up. I wanted you to feel like
you didn't reply to one text.
Because I wanted you to feel like I might not be there.
I should have texted then.
Yeah, he would have replied.
I would have replied to you. But so customer service is a big thing for me.
Yes.
Because I want them to be, I don't want to be the lawyer's office that puts every little mark on the invoice and you see that you paid them $16.10 for photocopies,
yeah,
or the accounting office that billed you for a half an hour phone call to discuss whether to buy a car or not. I've had clients text me on a Sunday and ask that question. They're in the dealership and they're like, should I buy it, finance it, or lease it? So we go over the rate, go over the terms. I would rather they take 5 minutes to call me than to go and do something dumb that we can't fix.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But going back to your original question, is we started getting a couple complaints.
Really? From
clients. Yeah, because when you're doing everything yourself, I can't service everybody. So all of a sudden, I'd be sitting there in the afternoon. Now, this is going back a few years, but I'd be sitting there. I'd be like, oh, shit, I haven't talked to Will in a long time.
Right.
Right? And then you scramble to send a message to Will and be like, hey, Will, anything I can do? Right? But then when clients start reaching out to you for things that you should be reaching out for them for, that's a problem.
For like real estate, actually, think about it, right?
Yeah, 100%. Right? You don't reach out. Yeah.
You can't, you start to feel like there's so many, because when you start out, you're taking on every client because you just need that base.
Right.
Right. So you just build, but it's just you. And then there's no time to train somebody. Right. So it becomes this big wheel. So you, and it's hard because a new business owner needs to just get people in. But then there comes a point where they have to hit a pause button, take a step back, and then realize, you know what? What I've got going on works. Now it's time for me to start building, right? We go through cycles. You start as that new business owner. You're bringing in everybody that you can get. Then you hit a point where you're like, okay, this is great. I don't need to bring in any new clients. Now I want to get the clients that I want. And then you can start to filter out the ones you don't like.
Right.
Right. And then you grow. You start to build a team And then you can get to that next level. And we've got some clients that have now hit this level where they've essentially removed themselves from the running of the business.
That'd be great.
We've opened up holding companies. We've got insurance policies that are owned by the holding companies. And now they're working on generating wealth, right? Because that's the third piece of our business, is doing the wealth management for the business owner with the insurance and setting up holding companies. It all comes together into one spot. And now they're creating wealth for generations.
That's my next thing I have to do with them. Build wealth.
You already have wealth.
No.
We're talking real wealth.
Yeah.
Oh, not my wealth, which is fictitious. Interesting. You know what you also are good at is when it comes to being honest. You know, as a business, you and I, it's great, but not everyone is me.
No.
Or Riyadh. How do you manage your delivery or your message?
I don't.
I
don't. I tell every client straight up at the beginning. And if they don't like it, we just don't do business. Because I made this mistake at the beginning. I had an engineer once.
And you're an engineer, come on now.
It did not work very well. Didn't work very well. So I know who we work well with. And that's not to say that everybody's like that.
Yeah.
I can get along with a lot of different people, but you have to be prepared. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you're running your business like you've got your head in the sand, we're going to tell you.
Right.
Like I told one lady, you know, you complain that you're starting to get some gray hairs. She wasn't that old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're running a business that has good revenue. She wasn't making any money. Her T4 was like $19,000. I said, you know, you could literally go and stand in Walmart and say hello to people and make that amount of money. So why are you running a business? Right? Because that's the other thing people don't see. People put all this stress into running businesses. But if you're not taking a decent salary, I mean, unless you like the perks of going to Costco during the day when it's not busy, being able to go to the game, like some people like the lifestyle. But if you're not making a lot of money, there's easier ways to make $40,000, $50,000 than the stress of running your own business.
I agree.
Right? But people don't see that. They just keep seeing all this money that they sink into it, which is why we got Profit First certified, and that really helped us add that element into our business. So we make sure that most of our clients are profitable. There's some people you just can't help, but for the most part, we're training them how to run the business profitably, right? Right from the start. And so it's very important that they get the setup right.
And that at times comes like right at the beginning or within their first year.
You want to get the setup right in the beginning.
Right.
Without spending a ton of money. Like, you don't want to open up a business and hire 18 people unless you're running a restaurant or something. Right. But if you're running a regular business, that's you, don't go hire a bunch of people until you start getting in the revenue. Right. You just do it yourself. Then once you get to a certain point where you're like, oh my goodness, this is getting a little bit tiring. My service levels are dropping. I'm going to bring on one person. Right. And then we tell them, make sure the people you bring on, you tie their revenue to your income.
Right.
Right. Like, the worst thing some of our clients do is they'll pay a salesperson $40,000 a year, but they don't tie it to anything that they do. Well, that's like, you give a salesman a regular salary, they're not going to work hard.
Exactly.
True.
Right. So you need to find ways to tie that in. You can give them a base salary, give them $20,000, and then tie everything else to money that they bring in. Right. Those types of things are where the clients that we work with get their real bang out of it.
Now, how would someone know that's, I guess you also help them with that kind of discussion when it comes to hiring people?
Yep.
That, you know, you should have this X, Y, and Z in a contract kind of thing.
That's legal stuff. That's way out of my realm.
But
the thing that I tell them is, if you want to hire somebody, like if I'm going to hire you and I think you're going to cost me $4,000 a month, I'm going to start putting that aside before I ever talk to you. And I'm going to do it for 2, 3, 4 months.
You have payroll.
And if that goes out and I can still run my business efficiently, then I can hire you without it affecting the rest of my business. But if I put that $4,000 away and I don't have enough money, then I'm probably not going to hire you, or I'm going to bring you in on a different type of contract.
Right.
Right. So that way it'll go with the money that I can afford, and then the rest will be based on performance. So if you bring me in more money, then you can make more money.
Another question for you with CPP. So if you're in a corporation and you pay yourself dividends,
mm-hmm.
Is there a point you should switch over and pay CPP or?
Talking to the wrong guy on that one because I don't like CPP. So for me, dividends are the way to go. Like that's why I detest RRSPs too. I think they're one of the worst investment vehicles you can go with, but lots of people love them, right? For me, I take dividends. A lot of our clients, we have clients that do all of it. At the end of the day, it's a personal decision, right? The math, if you are a smaller company, the dividend usually wins.
Okay.
From an overall tax perspective, what the corporation pays, what you pay, and what you pay in source deductions. But it will get to a point where the business is making so much money that you actually get a bigger bang from having the salary deduction in the company.
Okay.
Right. And then we work them out. For most of our business owners, every year we put the dividend versus salary into a spreadsheet to figure out what the best option is.
Okay.
And then there's some people that are like, nope, I'm full salary. I like that the company pays the taxes and everything else, and they're only salary. Great. And then we have some that just take a dividend. Really personal.
You have a question? Off camera.
So, great question.
Regarding training.
We train all our clients. I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't train your clients, they're going to just do their job, right? So, most of our clients, we offer them three packages. We either meet monthly, quarterly, every other month, right? And then during that time, I'm all theirs. They can ask me whatever they like. So, usually we'll do a 10-15 minute book review to go over the profit and loss so they understand their fingers. You'd be amazed at how many clients have no idea what their numbers are. Like you ask them, hey, what's your profit margin on this? And they're like, I have no idea. What's a profit margin? Right? So the educational piece, I don't need them to become a financial analyst, but understanding what those figures are is very important. So we usually do a 10-15 minute review of the previous month or quarter. And then the rest of that hour, we tailor to whatever they need. Sometimes it's talking about hiring. Sometimes we're talking about marketing initiatives, how they can increase sales. There's all kinds of stuff that we do, right? There's really no limit because everybody's different, right? I have some clients where pricing is a major issue. I have other clients where they're the highest priced company in their industry, right? So they don't have a pricing problem. So I'm not going to waste their time talking about pricing for an hour. Yeah.
Right. So every person is different.
Every person is different. Every business is different, which is why I don't tailor anything. People are like, you always look like you're just all over the place. I'm like, absolutely, because I'm just going to go with whatever that person needs. I don't have a set checklist.
And no business in the same industry or different industry is the same.
No.
Right. Everyone has every business is run differently.
Yeah. Both realtors, I'm sure we're very different.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even right down to the business owner. You can have two people in the exact same, because we do a lot of fitness facilities and we've got a lot of gym owners. They're all different. All of them. And they all run their gyms differently.
Right.
So a conversation with one is much different than a conversation with another.
Interesting.
Any last big question you want to ask there, Will?
Again, I just think it's important if someone is looking to start a business, you know, Dan is a great resource. 100%. And, you know, he's not your accountant, if he's just an advisor to your business, I think it's important to consider that. Because I think running a business is very tough and there's a lot of noise.
And I don't even charge startups a lot for advice. A lot of times I take the call and we'll talk for an hour.
What's your phone number? Put it out there.
289-688-0092.
I was just making sure you knew your number. So that's your cell phone or your office line?
Come on now. I only have one.
Oh, it's not the same because I think usually, because I remember when you used to have that like golfing resort you used to live at, it was always, I'm out golfing, I'm out doing this, but apple picking. And now that you're a serious businessman, you're always on your phone answering it. It's lovely.
Yeah. You have to sometimes. I prefer text though.
So people could call or text that number if they have questions. Yeah. I mean, 2020, like, I mean, as a business owner, you've highlighted a couple of things. I think Reid and I totally agree. Everyone's different. Everyone's tolerance of risk is different, but it's important that they get guidance, not from a friend, but from someone that understands and sees it.
I'll tell you, well, I'll leave you with this one. I got into this business to help small business owners get further ahead. Because like, people always say, well, why don't you charge more? And then you'll have to have less businesses. I'm like, that's not the way that I want to operate it. I would rather charge less, help more people. And then as I get more clients, I'll just bring in more staff on my side. So that way we can help more and more business owners. Because I mean, there's so many people in today's world that start small businesses, right? But that small business is huge for the economy. It like marriages fail because of failed businesses, right? There's so much like people die from stress levels and suicides and all kinds of stuff, all because their businesses fail. So that's the reasoning behind why we started this. And so my thing is not to drag every penny out of every client, right? So people that are startups, we'll sit down, we have a chat. We try to keep our costs as low as we can. Like I'll find ways. A client says to me, hey, can we get this done for $200 a month? If I can make it work, we'll make it work. They might have to give up a few different little perks that we throw in, but it's not like, hey, here's the price. This is what it is.
Right.
Right. If I think that the client's worth working with. Right.
Right. And again, we said this in this interview that, you know, it doesn't hurt for people to interview an accountant, to interview a so-and-so.
I wish I did that early on.
Yeah. I think that's important. And again, weirdly, I knew Dan for years before playing basketball. I mean, and Junior Jordan here. And it was, I completely forgot he was an accountant at the time. And I don't know how you did a post on Facebook and I called you because it was like June 14th. That's probably the 15th of June. And he made it happen. So that's the thing. You want someone that's in your corner.
I thought it was the 15th of October you called.
Probably. I'm always late with it too. I don't really care. Yeah, I'm always, but again, that's
my problem. And then you showed up with a shoebox.
Yeah. Yes. It was a Nike shoebox of receipts and everything.
No, when we parted, he gave me a thing of fivefold of Ron's clients' names.
I'm old school. I'm an old man and I'm old school and I'm okay with it. I am. Dan.
Thank you so much.
Our first repeat. Time repeat guest on the podcast. Very much appreciate it. You could again reach Dan at what phone number?
289-688-0092.
And his business is Profit by Intention website, profitbyintention.com, social media, Profit by Intention as well.
Also, I'm going to be your first third time customer too.
100%. I think so.
Because next one, we'll talk about how to shelter money.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Awesome. Thank you.